us with her daughters and appreciate the ministry. I've known about it for a while, pretty much right after she got it started. I think you were at a fellowship meeting here, and Jeff actually preached here. And you gave us a little bit of an update then, and so we've had Chris scheduled for quite a while to come and present the ministry here. I got to be honest with you, at first I was a little reluctant, because this ministry is a really sensitive type of a ministry that maybe we don't like to talk about. We don't like to realize the importance of it, probably. But it's an important ministry. And it's something that hearing this today, it's kind of made me appreciate what she's trying to do. And we need to pray for that. Make sure you sign up for all of the things she's got back there. All right, Galatians chapter 6, let me give you one verse. Let me get into this. We'll at least get it started, and then tonight you can come back and for the rest of it. I've got quite a bit here, so we might be a little bit longer tonight. I'll even give you that ahead of time in case you say, I don't want to be here that long. I got to go for my ice cream afterwards. But the ice cream place is open until 9 now. We start at 6, so it gives you plenty of time to get your ice cream if that's what you're so concerned about. But it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you again for today. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry update that we've heard from Chris today. We pray that you'd continue to help her, Lord, through this. And Lord, we pray that you would open doors for her. And we pray that the money that she needs would come, that the home would be there available. Lord, you can do anything. Lord, we know that you're very capable of doing that. And so, Father, we pray for your perfect will to be done with that. Lord, bless this message and use it for your honor and for your glory now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wednesday night after church, Brennan, Earl, and Jeff were standing in the hallway out there, and they were talking about scar stories. And boy, I got to tell you, they were impressive. And Earl was talking about all of these injuries he's had and getting bopped on the head. And Brennan, of course, he's a farmer. He's got 1,000 stories to tell. And Jeff even threw in a couple. And it was funny sitting there listening to them, not sitting there, standing there listening to these guys as they told their stories of their injuries. And it's almost like we men like to do this. We like to tell our story, and then we like to see if we can one-up somebody else. Well, let me tell you what happened to me. And right, and so we do that, and we give our scar story, And it's usually we're trying to make it sound a little bit better than the last guy that told his scar story. But scars tell a story. And these guys were telling a story the other night. And I don't know how true. I assume they weren't trying to embellish it to the point where it wasn't true. They were telling true stories, right? Earl, yours was true. Sounded pretty impressive. Brennan's yours was true. Jeff's yours was true. I assume. I assume. But sometimes our pride likes to up it a little bit more. Have you ever done that? Tell a story and you add a few little things? Come on, be honest. Yeah, of course you have. You like to do that. Add a little extra flavor into the story to make it sound a little bit more interesting. You know, I lost 10 pints of blood on that one, you know. I lost my hand and my arm, but I got it sewed back on, and, you know, I'm fine now. You know, we go through all of these things. I got a little scar story I share with you. When I was about 8 years old, my father was burning a whole bunch of leaves, so it was in the fall. And being a young boy, I had to try to prove my manhood. So we went off and played for a little while, me and my brothers, and we came back, and there was just ashes laying there in this pile. And so I thought, there's no harm in walking through that pile of ashes. And so I commenced to walk through the ashes. Little did I know, there was a whole bunch of coals underneath those ashes that I didn't know that was there. I was 8 years old. What do you expect? I didn't know a whole lot. So I put my right foot in there, and all of a sudden, it burned awful. So I immediately removed my right foot from the pile of ashes. And I went running to Mommy. course. That's what 8-year-olds do, right? And come to find out, I had a really big burn on my inside right ankle, and the scar is still there. It's about the size of a quarter. It's not real big, but there's no feeling in that. It was a very serious burn. Could have been a lot worse. Obviously, I could have burned my whole foot off. I thought at the time I did, but I have the scar to remind me as to what has happened. And listen, we all have some scar stories. That's the title of the message tonight, scar stories. Paul had one. He says in verse 17, he says, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." That word marks actually means scars. The scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you two things, and today I'm only going to have time to give you the one, but we see the scars of Christianity. If you go back to Acts chapter 5, and as we go through the book of Acts, you go through the book of Acts, I'm reading through the book of Acts right now in my Bible reading, you'll see a whole bunch of stories, of course, in the book of Acts about what the apostles went through as that early church was getting started. And in Acts chapter 5, we start to see some of the persecution that these guys went through. And of course, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. That's really not, you know, that's the story that we've always, we've read. And yet, now these guys are out there preaching. And in verse 14, and the it says in Acts 5:14, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, you've got 3,000 souls being saved. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, you've got 5,000 souls being saved. We're up to about 8,000 people being saved. And now in Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, we've got multitudes. They couldn't even number them. That's a lot of people getting saved in the early church. Guarantee you this, the devil didn't like it. Satan didn't like what was going on. Satan never likes what's going on in a church when a church is trying to do something for God. I'm just waiting. I mean, we're looking at new property. We're looking at a new church building. We're looking at a lot of things that it's exciting. But I'm just waiting. I don't mean to be pessimistic. I'm just praying for God to help and protect and watch over us. Because you never know what's going to happen when you're trying to do something for God. And I've been telling you folks in our church, those of you that are visiting here, just bear with me for 30 seconds, but I'm trying to tell you, those of us that are part of this church, watch out. Don't let the devil get under your skin. Don't let the devil destroy what good is going on here. Don't you be part of anything that could destroy the ministry here. You watch and you wait. And you keep in the book, you keep on your knees, and you stay in church, and you do what's right all the time. You start to hear some grumblings and gripings, you just walk away. Don't be part of anything that could cause any problems within the church. That's just a little warning for us all. But we see here, we go through the Acts chapter 5, and these guys were doing so much preaching, there was so much stuff going on, they decided to throw them into prison. And so they throw them into prison, but God gets them, he does a prison break during the night. The angel of the Lord in verse 19, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And they did exactly what the angel of the Lord told them to do. And so they're out there preaching, and so then the Sanhedrin sends somebody down to the prison house to break them out or get them out, and they find that they're already gone, and they're down preaching and teaching the Word of God. And so they finally get them back again in verse 28, and they say, saying, "Did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Here's the famous words that Peter said. And the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Or men. We ought to obey God rather than men. Men can't tell us how to preach, what to preach, when to preach. God does that. I'm reminded about Mike Church. You know the story about Mike Church when he was in Hornell passing out gospel tracts and literature in the parking lot of Walmart. And somebody got offended and called the police on him, and they came over and detained him. They didn't arrest him, but they just detained him and made him leave the parking lot. And Walmart made it very clear to Mike Church, you are no longer welcome here in our parking lot, at our facility. Mike Church did what most people would do. He brushed the dust off from his feet and he went on. But he's still doing that in other Walmarts. He's still doing that wherever he goes. He wasn't going to let somebody tell him he couldn't do that. I told him, I said, Mike, I'm glad you didn't get arrested. He says, it wouldn't bother me if I did, because I was just preaching in the prison. That's the attitude that we need to have. There's a job to be done, and it is getting a little tougher at times in this day and age that we're living in to try to do some of these things. But, you know, when I got a phone call just a month or so ago about, do you want to be in the county fair again? They called me and asked me for us to be in the county fair. I was thinking about calling the gentleman, but he called me first. I said, yes, we want to be in the county fair. Yes, set us up in the same place. Yes, we... And then I called him just a week or two ago and asked him the times, and he told me. And so they're excited about us coming. We're excited about us coming. One of these days, one of these years, that door may close. And maybe they'll say, no, you're not allowed here anymore. But we'll do what we can until we can't do it anymore. In Acts chapter, so again, we see here that they did this, and they were simply trying to serve God. And you go down a few verses in verse 41. They got beaten for this, by the way, in verse 40. Let me read verse 40 and 41. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Did they shut him up? Did they try? They tried. They couldn't shut them up. But the Bible says there that they were beaten. I can guarantee you there were some scars as a result of that. And remember that scars always tell a story. But they didn't stop. Even though they were physically harmed and they were ridiculed, it didn't stop them. They ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. You go to Acts chapter 7 and you have the story of Stephen. Stephen is preaching the word of God, and he's given the entire history of the Jewish nation of Israel, and he gets down to the end of his preaching and he starts to bring Jesus Christ into the subject, and boy, they were getting upset. And he is talking to them and he's telling them about how they killed the Son of God. And of course, now they're getting really, really, really mad, and they start picking up stones to stone Stephen, and they killed Stephen simply for preaching the Word of God. Now, Stephen didn't live beyond Acts chapter 7. He died here at the end of this chapter. If he could have lived a little bit longer, he would have had some scars from that stoning. Those scars would have told a story. In Acts chapter 8, we see Saul, or then later on, he becomes Paul. Saul was consenting unto his death. Saul was all for the death of Stephen. This is before Saul or Paul got saved. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. And Saul, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, look at this, and haling men and women, committed them to prison. That word haling means dragging by force or violence. That's what that word means. He literally would go into the house, and if you were around at that time and you were a Christian, he would go into your house and he would force you to leave. He would literally drag you out of your house and cause bodily pain and suffering to you because he hated your guts because you were a Christian. Paul, at this time, he wasn't saved. He could care less. He thought he was doing God's service. I'm sure there were some scars that would tell some stories here in Acts chapter 8. But then we come to the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 6, verse 17, we read that a few minutes ago about bearing the marks of Jesus Christ. The scars of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 9 and look at verse 16. Acts 9:16, it says, the Lord is saying this about Paul. He says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." What things he was going to suffer. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and we're going to see some things that Paul went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm just going to read this and then we'll shut this down and we'll pick it up tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 22. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22, this is Paul writing his second letter to the church of Corinth, and he says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." Do you know what that word stripes means? Beatings by a whip. Stripes. This man was beaten. And it even explains it a little bit more in the next verse. I'll get that out here in a moment. In prisons more frequent, in deaths off. In other words, close to dying. Verse 24, it says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." In other words, five times 39 is what? 195 lashings Paul received on his back. 195 whippings he got. You think his back had some scars? You think he had a lot of pain that it went through? 195 lashings, a total. He said five different times he received those 39 stripes. Five different times. The first time, I'm sure, it caused some scars. The second time, when they ripped his back open and saw the scars on his back, they did it again. And then the third time, they did it again. Fourth time, and then the fifth time. I'm surprised he didn't die from the whippings. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And journeyings," that word journeys means traveling often, "in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils," that word perils means danger, "by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Ladies and gentlemen, you and I could barely ever take anything to what Paul went through. We're soft here in America. We're soft. Just admit it. What he went through for the cause of Christ left a lot of scars. And hence he could say that in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. "I bear in my body the marks, the scars for the Lord Jesus." The question today would, to me and to you, is would you and I be willing to take that? Some of you are sitting there saying, "Yeah, I could do that." You don't know. You would hope maybe as a dedicated Christian, a born-again child of God, you would hope maybe that you could do that. You might be able to withstand one beating, one whipping 39 times, but could you stand five? Could you withstand five different times being stoned? Paul actually died once. He went to heaven and God sent him back. The beatings that he... I mean, he got beaten with rods. Have you ever been beaten with a rod? I used to get the belt when I was a kid. My mother would chase me with a broom. No, she wasn't a witch. But boy, she would chase us around the house with the broom. I had long legs. I could outrun my mother. But I had a hard time outrunning a broom handle. She knew how to toss that right. As I'm running like this, the broom would go right between the legs and I would course, fall flat on my face. She got me every time. The broom got me every time. That's how she had to slow me down. And then once I became conscious again, wait till your father gets home. I was hit with some rods growing up. But I never had it like Paul had it. Scars tell a story. And Paul had a story to tell. His life for Christ meant something to him. He was willing to suffer horribly. As I said, most of us would say, not me, I'm not going to do that. I can't bear all that pain. Can you imagine the pain that he went through with all of those different things that he went through? The pain, the suffering, I can't. Every time I read that, I say, Paul, how did you do it? I think he kept saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. He kept hearing Jesus, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hang in there, Paul. I told you when you got saved that you were going to suffer for me. Yeah. In Acts chapter 9, right. Paul gets saved, but the Lord said, you're going to suffer, buddy. You're going to suffer. Life isn't going to be easy for you, Paul. But is really the Christian life supposed to be easy for us anyway? Was it easy for Noah? Was it easy for Moses? Was it easy for Daniel, Joseph, Jacob, all of them? Do you know that God never promised you an easy life? We like our easy life, don't we? We like our soft little life here. We like our comfortable little church. It's air conditioned in the summer and it's heated in the winter. And we like our comfortable seats. And even in the next building, we're going to get even more comfortable seats. Unless God says, just put some wooden things down there for them to sit on. Amen. Just some wooden blocks. Yeah. With lots of really rough wooden blocks. No, I don't know what we're going to do, but we like our comforts. You have comforts at home that you like. And I have comforts that I like. I wonder how many of us could actually go through with what Paul went through. But scars tell a story. Paul had a bunch. I wonder with those soldiers, when they opened up his back, I wonder how many of the soldiers said, whoa, Paul, what is that one from? That was my previous beating. He said, I've already had four, so that's all from the previous beatings that I had. See, to become a Christian, it's easy to get saved. Right? You admit the fact that you're a sinner. You believe upon Jesus Christ and you call upon Him to save your soul. It's pretty easy to be saved. It's really one of the easiest things you can do at all. You don't have to go to church to get saved. You don't have to come crawling down here on your hands and knees. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be baptized to get saved. You don't have to climb a mountain to get saved. You don't have to do anything except admit the fact that you're a sinner and in need of salvation, and believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, shed His blood for you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. So admit, believe, and call. ABC. It's that simple. It's that easy to be saved. But it's one of the hardest decisions a person will ever have to make. You'll go out and buy a $100,000 vehicle before you'll get saved. You'll go buy a $350,000 house before you make the decision to trust Christ. People are doing it all the time. You'll make big decisions in your life, and yet your soul is hanging in the balance. It's like if you take one more breath, you've got a chance. But when you stop breathing, that's it. Life is over. And your chances of being saved stop. You don't get another chance after you die. Amen. And nobody in this room can guarantee if you're going to have another breath or another heartbeat. Can you guarantee that? No, none of us can. At my age, I feel pretty healthy. I drink my protein and I take my vitamins and I try to be active and blah, 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 blah. But I could drop dead this afternoon. I've known plenty healthy people. Jeff was a very healthy, he had some underlying conditions, but that man was out hunting. I had him preach our game dinner. One year he broke his leg falling out of a tree stand. Why he fell out of a tree stand, I don't know. But anyway, he fell out of a tree stand. He came to preach with a broken leg. The man was always out there snowmobiling and hunting and gardening, very active guy. Younger than me. COVID, I guess, got him with his lungs and his heart condition. Hal Roscoe, good friend. COVID got him. You know people younger than you that have died. Bonnie, you're in a hospital. You see it all the time. Donna, you're in a health, but you see it all the time. You have family and friends that you know. You've been to a funeral maybe in the last 6 months. We're not guaranteed really another breath. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. I've said this before, but God has an appointment book. He's got your name written down, I think. I don't know how this all works, but God's got an appointment book, and He's got your name written down. He may have a date and a time that you're going to be there. And you're not changing that. You're not changing the appointment book. Your appointment might be this afternoon. You don't know. But God knows when you're going to leave this earth. And you need to be prepared before you die. There's a heaven, there's a hell. That's it. If another religion tries to teach something different, that's totally against the Bible. Amen. Heaven, hell. Saved people, go to heaven. Lost people, go to hell. And you'll never leave either place. Thank God when we die as a Christian, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to be there for all eternity. But a lost person will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Lake of fire. Does that resonate? Can you comprehend that? It's hard to even comprehend that, but that's what the Bible teaches. But there's one way out. One way out. Trust Jesus Christ. Don't trust me, not the preacher, not the church, not the Baptist church, not the preacher, not a priest, not a pope. And in hell, there's no exit signs. None. You're not getting out. Once you go there, you're not getting out. It's a serious thing, folks. Very serious thing. Scars tell a story. And I want you to come back tonight because we're going to talk about the scars of Jesus Christ. It's not an easy message to preach tonight, but we're going to talk about His scars. Number one, the scars of Christianity. Number two, the scars of crucifixion. You know what the Lord went through for us? It is incredible what He went through for us. Because He loves you so much. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you that much. He wants to save your soul. There's not a person on this planet that He can't save. He is willing to save anybody that wants to be saved, but you got to want to be saved. Father, thank You for this time that we've had this morning. Father, You know in this room, or maybe somebody's listening online right now, Lord, that's not saved. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would work upon that heart or hearts. We pray, Father, for the conviction of their soul to realize that they're lost. And they need You as their Savior right now. Father, speak to our hearts as Christians. Pray that we would do Your will. So, Lord, bless this invitation now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll have an invitation. Simply means we invite you to come. If you need to come forward for anything at all, if you'd like to be saved, if you'd like one of us to show you how to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're a lady, one of our ladies will take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a gentleman here today, one of our men will take